Good morning.
You see, Satan is a master thief. He's a mastermind and a criminal. And I had this text read. I'm really not going to. We're not going to talk about this section of scripture in great detail. It's Israel, of course, was stubborn in their rebellion against God, and he says in verse 22, "This is a people robbed and plundered." They did it to themselves. But Satan was the catalyst behind it. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are prey, and no one delivers. They are for plunder, and no one says, restore. They've been robbed. And they robbed themselves. And they allowed Satan. You see, they were complicit in the very crimes that were perpetrated against them. Just like we are today, in a lot of ways. But Satan is robbing homes of things, and the homeowners might not even suspect it. And that's the real tragedy. They don't even know they're being robbed. We hear of some trusted person in a business or even in a religious institution where it seems like it's happening a lot. But money will start disappearing. And over time, there was a church secretary, and I forget where, Wisconsin maybe. And she had built this church out of over a couple $100,000 over the course of 15 or 20 years. They didn't realize it. They didn't know it. Until there was an audit or some kind of an accounting. And people are being robbed today of God's influence in the home. And sadly, most of them won't realize it until the final accounting. And then it'll be too late to do anything about it. You know, a bird can be fascinated by an expensive shiny diamond glowing in the sun. You know, this bird, it can swoop down and find it. But you know, that bird will be just as easily enamored by a shiny piece of metal or a piece of glass. And just like those birds that can't distinguish between something that is valuable and a broken little piece of glass, we have misplaced true moral values. And most of the people in the nation don't even know it. You know, if a pickpocket steals your wallet, you will eventually become aware of it. But if you allow yourself to be robbed of your eternal soul, again, someday you'll be aware of it. But it'll be too late. We need to search our homes now to see if we're being robbed and if we're complicit in the crime. We have to ask, is our home robbed of the Bible? The teaching, the influence, the wise counsel. People say, oh, no, my home's not robbed of the Bible. Well, I've got a Bible up there on the shelf. It's been there since Uncle Jesse put it there 15 years ago. Covered with dust, but yeah, we got a Bible. Our home's not robbed of the Bible. Missing the point. It might be jammed into a crowded bookcase with other unread books. Books that we always intended to read but never got around to. I'm reading a book now I bought in 2009. Finally got up to it. You know, if you got a Bible on your shelf and you never read it, it might as well be a million miles away. It's just taking up space. But even if we do read it, if we fail to study it and do what it says, we're really no better off. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22. The brother of our Lord writes, "But be doers of the word." Logic tells us if we're going to be a doer of the word, we had to first read it to know what it said to do, didn't we? All right. We're on the same page. "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Well, I read the Bible. Did you study it? No, but I read it. You're deceiving yourself. You're just hearing it. If you're not doing what the Bible says, James says you're deceiving yourself. And then he goes on at verse 23. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes his way, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." In other words, fellas, if you got up this morning and waddled through the house to that fresh cup of coffee, maybe got about half in you and decide to get a shower and finally get woke up a little bit, and you go to the mirror, and if you're like me, it's, ugh. Had a shave, comb my hair. But this guy, what he's saying is, if you're the kind of guy that just looks in the mirror and you see you need a shave, your hair's all messed up, then you just turn around and walk away and you go off. Why did you even bother to look in the mirror if you wasn't going to make any corrections? The only person I ever knew that could look in the mirror and walk away without having to do anything was the Fonz. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, they stepped up in front of the mirror. Hey. Verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," that's the Bible, "and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Who's going to be blessed? The one who reads the Bible and studies the Bible and does what it says. That promise is only made to the ones who read the Bible and do what it says. That promise is not made to the ones who read the Bible and then throw it away and don't do anything about it. It's not made to the ones who never even read the Bible. That promise is made to the ones who make a conscious effort to learn and study the Word of God. No doubt we have other kinds of reading material in our homes. We have newspapers and magazines and novels. Maybe a little pornography. You know, stuff like that prevents us from thinking on pure things, that the pure things that we're supposed to be thinking about. Philippians 4:8, Paul said, think on these things, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, and on and on. When stuff like that is in the home is being robbed of a good influence. It's being robbed of the best, and I hate to reduce the Bible to mere literature, but I don't. It's being robbed of the influence of God and His Holy Spirit. A house robbed of the Bible will be a place and a house where the inhabitants are very likely to stumble and fall because they're not guided by the light. As the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 and verse 105. And when the Bible is kept hidden, the inhabitants will stumble and they will fall. And there will be ignorance where there should be understanding. The psalmist wrote again, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Well, I was about as simple as anyone until I started studying the Bible seriously. And many of you know what I'm talking about. We talked about some of the simpletons this morning in Bible class. The ones that say, don't judge ever about anything. If they read their Bible and study their Bible, they know that that's not what it says and what it means. There will be uncertainty where there should be certainty. Uncertainty is one of the most, for me anyhow, uncertainty is gut-wrenching at times when you don't know what to do. Well, if we study the Word of God and we learn what God wants us to do, do you know what that does for us? That just removes some of the uncertainty that we have to wrestle with, and then we can concentrate on the other things that need decided. Paul told Timothy, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He was certain. There was no uncertainty in that statement. There will be doubt where there should be faith. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unclean. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. No doubt about it. There will be confusion. Well, there should be peace. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. A house without the Bible, we will find weakness where there should be strength. Paul was told that God's grace was sufficient for him. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, he said, I will gladly rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A house that is robbed of the Bible is a house where there will be trust in men, where there should be reliance upon God. No man can save you. I can't forgive you of your sins. No priest can forgive you of your sins. No holy father, no reverend so-and-so, no Pastor Smith. Sorry, Mo. Only Christ can forgive you of your sins. It was his blood, not mine, not Paul's, not Peter's, not the Pope's, not Billy Graham's, not Joel Osteen's. It was Jesus Christ. Has your home been robbed of family worship time? Is that even a thing anymore? Families seldom even sit down together and eat, much less spend time together in prayer and devotion. You mean sit down with the family and pray and read the Bible or something like that? Really? Yeah, it's worked for 2,000 years. Families without that have no frame of reference. That stuff becomes no more important to them than whatever else is going on within the family at the time. Who's having a baby? What sports season is it? Yada, yada, on and on. They have nothing to which they can cling when things don't go as planned. Why, they don't even have time in many cases to, or even the interest to sit down when they sit down to eat to thank God for the meal that's before them in God's continual providence. James 1:17 is that God is the giver of all perfect gifts. They don't thank God for that big steak anymore, and they thank the farmer that raised it. Like pigs in a pen, we eat the acorns, we never once look up to see where they came from. Homes are robbed of communication with God. There's plenty of communication with man. Satellite TVs. MP3, I don't even know if MP3 players still exist. Everybody's got them on their phone now. Radios, some people still have radios. I still wish I had a cassette player in my car. We got all kinds of communication, phones. But you see, communication with God is two-way. We communicate with God. He has already communicated with us. Our homes are being robbed of family devotion. And the family that gets closer together is going to be closer. As they come, they get closer to God, they're going to be closer together. What I was groping for there. Perhaps your home's even been robbed of the Lord's Day. Many see Sunday as a holiday, but not a holy day. Hey, it's construction workers, to them that's a day for double bubble. That means double time pay. To them, that's all Sunday means. Or others think, well, Sunday's a day of rest. Where did you learn that? You didn't learn it from the Bible. There's not a place in the Bible that says Sunday is the day of rest or that Sunday is the Sabbath. Now, I know television shows, they'll show these families coming out of church. No, happy Sabbath to you. Sunday's not Sabbath. I just said Sunday's not a day of rest. That's what Sabbath means, is rest. Our Sabbath is heaven. Sunday is a day of worship. It's become secular more than spiritual. Ball games, all kinds of activities are planned on Sundays now, Sunday mornings. In the little town I grew up in, there was no sporting events on Sunday, and there were no sporting events on Wednesday nights. Because people back then respected Christ and His church. They gave it the respect it was due. He didn't earn it, but He deserves it. He didn't have to earn it. And now it's just, oh well, if there's nothing better to do, I suppose we'll go to church. The Lord's Day is a very important day, you see, because, number one, that's the day Christ arose, Matthew 28, 5 and 6. That's the day Christ met with his disciples after the resurrection, John 20 and verse 19. We can look at Acts chapter 2. That's the day that the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and the church of Christ began. Right there on that first Pentecost after the ascension of Jesus Christ. We read in Acts 20 and verse 7 that that's the day the disciples came together to partake of the Lord's Supper. And in a house that is robbed of the Lord's Day, it is merely viewed as a day off, a day to sleep, a day to go visit, a day to take a vacation, a day to make extra money, anything but to worship Jehovah God. I take it very personally. Our God deserves so much more than I can ever give him. But that's not going to keep me from giving him everything I can. We cannot afford to have such a cavalier attitude as that. Houses are robbed of discipline by the parents. And it's easier for the parents to just let the kids be babysat by the smartphone or the television or farmed out to grandma or daycare. And then before you know it, the kids are coming and going as they please. Mom and dad don't have any idea where they are, what they're doing, who they're with. They come and go as they please, and mom and dad, you just stay out of the way. And mom and dad go, okay. Because mom and dad may rule the roost, but the kids are ruling the roosters. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. So how do we prevent our homes from being robbed very quickly? Well, like we do today. We need a good security system. We need a good security system. That's why, you see, that God has given us rules and commandments. That's our security system. We're to pray to God. We keep the lines of communication open. We need to be active in daily Bible study, not merely reading it so we can check a list off a read through the Bible in a year card, but studying the Bible. We can read what it says and still not know what it means. I can read German writing, but I haven't a clue what I'm saying. I learned to read German diction. The only German I know is what I learned from Hogan's Heroes. We need to be committed to the cause of Christ. Not just the easy, convenient parts, but all of it. Committed to Christ. And everything we need to know about our commitment to Christ, we can find in the New Testament. It doesn't take that long to read through the New Testament. I read through the New Testament about every month. I have a little reading plan taped in the back of my Bible. So at the end of the year, I've read through the New Testament 12 times. in spite of all, in addition to all the other reading I do in preparation. And I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to tell you that you say, well, I'm too busy. If you're too busy to study the Bible, then yes, you are too busy. Something's got to go. Turn off the idiot box a half hour sooner at night before you go to bed. That's the television. An abundance of material things we can have, but a house that is robbed will be poor in spiritual things. And fun will become a cheap substitute for the joy that we can have in Christ. Gratification replaces self-denial, and the praise of men is chosen over the praise of God, and the occupants of the robbed house will be those people who major in minors. Listen, brethren and friends, Christ wants to be included in your family. Christ wants to be included in your house. Don't let Satan rob you of that. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Christ wants to be a part. He's not some adopted stepchild that we just cast off to the side. Christ needs to be front and center. He, and only He, can give you real peace, real purpose, and real direction. Satan is robbing homes. Don't be complicit with Satan. Let Jesus back. Let's keep Him there where He belongs. Jesus tells us that if we believe that He's the Son of God, and if we'll turn from our sin in repentance, and if we'll confess His name, and if we'll allow ourselves to be immersed in water, that we can be saved, we'll have the forgiveness of our sins, we'll be added to the body, which is the church, and if we remain faithful, heaven can be our home. There's too much to gain to lose. If you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you've not been faithful, please take this opportunity to come back to the Lord. Will you come right now, please, as we stand and sing?